Blog Talk Radio.
Truly, we thank God for another privilege and opportunity to be in the house of the Lord one more time. Thank God for all the saints of God who gather. Thank God for you, Sister Carol, Sister Holmes, Sister Regina. Thank God for each and every one that are here, the older saints, Sister Smith. Anyone classify you, Sister Smith, moving right on into the older saints? I'm there too. Sister Blake. But we thank God we're here and thank God for all his goodness. Truly, God has been good to us since we last met. And we just thank him for all that he's done for us. He's been good to us down through the years. And you see, he's still good to us today, even, you know, in all the things that are going on. Let us look to the Lord in prayer as we begin our service. Most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, truly we look to thee this morning. Once again, we want to say thank you. Thank you for all that you have done for us and all that thou art doing and going to do on our behalf. We thank you for your hand of love and mercy extended unto us this day. We thank you, Lord God, that you allowed us to rise up this morning, clothed in our right mind. You've given us the activity and use of our limbs, and you've blessed us, dear Heavenly Father, with a reasonable portion of health and strength and well-being. We thank you, Lord God, that you gave us a mindset, dear Heavenly Father, that we knew this day was the day that you made, dear Heavenly Father, and we knew that we were to be in the Spirit of the Lord today and to be in the house of God, and we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord God, that we can gather once again, dear Heavenly Father, with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And we thank you, Lord God, when we look out and we see the goodness, Lord God, that you have been to them throughout this past week, dear Father, in their lives. And we just want to thank you for that likewise. We thank you, Lord God, for your love throughout this week, dear Lord. We thank you for our loved ones, dear Heavenly Father. We ask a special prayer and blessing to be upon those, dear Heavenly Father, who are sick and shut in and unable to get out, dear Heavenly Father. Lord, we have many that are suffering, dear Lord. We were able to speak with our brothers and sisters down in Zanesville, Lord God, and some of them still, Lord God, they had COVID last October. Some of them are still having side effects, dear Father, from the COVID, Lord God. And we pray and trust in the name of Jesus, Lord God. We're going to put them in your hands, Lord God. Sister Abby and Sister Sharon, dear Heavenly Father, asking you to touch and heal them, dear Father, all the way to your glory and to your honor, dear Father. Lord, none of us know about this virus, this disease, dear Heavenly Father, but Lord God, it didn't spare, dear Heavenly Father, the saints of God. You didn't say that COVID was go around us, Lord God, and we wouldn't get it, dear Lord. But Father, we know, dear Heavenly Father, through your grace and through your mercy, Lord God, that we are able to get even through this, dear Heavenly Father. So we lift up our brothers and sisters, Lord God, in prayer to you, dear Heavenly Father, who have gotten this virus, dear Heavenly Father, who are still suffering, Lord God, from it, Lord God. We ask in the name of Jesus that you remember Brother Lenny, Lord God, was able to reach out to him, dear Father, and see how things are going, dear Lord. And he said things are going well, dear Heavenly Father, but to continue to hold them up in prayer as they hold us up in prayer, Lord God. Father, we ask in the name of Jesus, likewise, that you remember our brothers and sisters, Lord, down in Xenia, dear Father. We know, Lord God, they haven't met in a while, dear Lord, but we just thank you, Lord God, for them and ask that you would be with them. A special prayer and blessing be upon Brother Scott and Sister Scott, dear Heavenly Father. Thank you for how you took her through her surgery, Lord God, and thank you for your healing power, Lord God, upon her body, dear Father. Ask that you would continue to bless them both, Lord God, as they endeavor to be all that you have called them out to be. Remembering Brother Scott's mother, Sister Scott, dear Heavenly Father, ask that you would be with her and bless her in her body, spirit, mind, and soul. Remembering Brother Scott's father, likewise, dear Heavenly Father. Lord, we just pray that you remember all the saints of God everywhere, dear Heavenly Father. We don't want to forget anyone, dear Father, because we have brothers and sisters outside of Columbus, Ohio, dear Father. We have brothers and sisters all over the world that we know nothing about, dear Heavenly Father. But Lord God, we know that they are our brothers and sisters in Christ. And so we ask a special prayer and blessing upon them, dear Heavenly Father, as they gather this day in your name. Father, remember the saints here at 116 South Wayne Avenue. We thank you, Lord God, for our dear older saints. Thank you, Lord God, for looking out and seeing Sister Holmes, dear Father, in the house of God one more time. Thank you for all your manifold blessings upon our dear sister. Thank you, Lord, for the strength you give her, dear Heavenly Father, as she forges on in you, dear Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord, for the inspiration, dear Heavenly Father, we receive from seeing her, dear Father, and seeing her, Lord God, run in this race that you have set before. Father, she was there when some of us started out our race. Yes. She was there, dear Heavenly Father, giving us the words that we needed. I can remember the book that she handed to me when I gave my life to the Lord and how she sat down with me and instructed me, Lord God,
and the things that I needed to know, especially in paying my tithes and my offerings, and dear Father, and what we needed to do. And now she's still here today instructing, dear Heavenly Father. Mm-hmm. She may not be saying much, but Lord, her life is an inspiration. Amen. Her life is the Bible, Lord God. Her life is the written word that we can read, dear Heavenly Father, from, and know that she is still serving you in the beauty and holiness of your eternal word. Father, we likewise thank you for Sister Carol, dear Father.
Yes.
Thank you for how you have blessed her and you've been with her, dear Father. Thank you, Lord God, for her encouraging words, dear Heavenly Father. Thank you for all those she comes in contact with each and every day, Lord God, especially her family members, Lord God, concerned about her dear brother, Lord God, and his wife, Lord God, and their soul and salvation, Father. We just ask that you would continue to bless our dear sister, give her desires of her heart, to strengthen her in her body, spirit, mind, and soul as she runs on this race for you. Not forgetting our dear sister Regina, dear Father. Thank you for her being out this morning. Thank you for her faithfulness, Lord God, to you. Thank you for all that you have done for Sister Regina, Lord God. We ask that continued blessing be upon her, dear Father. Continue to shelter her under your wings, dear Heavenly Father. Oh, help her, Lord God, to always remember, dear Father, even in the midst of whatever may be going on, she can always lift up her eyes from the hills to the hills from whence cometh her help. Thank you, dear Lord, for all that you have done for Sister Regina. Continue to touch on her body. Heal her to your glory, to your honor. Likewise, remember Brother Darnell, Lord God. She always asks a prayer for him, Lord God. Brother Darnell Lauderdale, dear Father, we ask a special prayer upon him, dear Father, and ask that you would be with him likewise, dear Father. Oh, Father, we don't want to forget, dear Father, our dear brother man, dear Father. Thank you for this dear brother. Thank you, Lord God, for his faithfulness to the cause of thee. Thank you, Lord God, for his life, dear Heavenly Father. Ask that you would continue to look down upon him with favor. Be with him, dear Heavenly Father, throughout the week. Be his guide. Be his direction. Jesus, be the strength he so desperately stands in need of, dear Father. And we know that brother man is going to give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. Remember, dear Father, his grandson down in the Carolinas, dear Father. We ask a special prayer and blessing upon them. Remember, likewise, his daughter there in Georgia, dear Father. Oh, we just pray that you likewise remember Joe, who cares for him, Lord God, and takes care and goes out and does the stuff that he needs. We just pray that you would bless, remember his home in a special way. Father, this morning we ask that you would remember Sister Smith. We thank you for her. Thank you for how you have brought her through, dear Heavenly Father. We know she's had some rough days, dear Father, a couple weeks ago. She was in a hospital, Lord God. But Father, you've allowed her to be out, dear Heavenly Father. You've allowed her to get rest for her body, dear Father. You've allowed her to find out some things, Lord, she didn't know, dear Father, that were working against her in her body, dear Father. But we thank you this morning when we came in. She was in the house of the Lord and she was working and doing, dear Father. So we ask a continued blessing upon her. Remember her request, dear Father, for her daughter and her grandchildren and great-grands, Lord God, and her sister, Lord God. She often, dear Heavenly Father, gives them their names to us, Lord God, to pray for them, Lord God, that they would get their lives right with thee. Father, this morning we ask in the name of Jesus, as you would continue to remember, dear Brother Levester, we thank you for him. Thank you for his presence this morning. Thank you, Lord God, for the wisdom you've given this brother. Thank you, Lord God, for his stand for righteousness, and ask that you remember likewise his family, Lord God. We pray, Lord, a special prayer, dear Heavenly Father, upon his children, his grandchildren, Lord God, who are dear to his heart, dear Father, remembering his son, William, who's on the road, dear Father. Ask that you would keep him safe, dear Heavenly Father, as he goes in and out of all these different counties and districts and cities and states, dear Father, ask that you would bless and keep him, dear Heavenly Father. Yes. Lord, we ask in the name of Jesus this morning. You remember Sister Lillian. Yes. Didn't see her before we started the prayer, but Lord God, we just thank you for her and ask that you would bless this dear sister. Thank you, Lord God, that you have been with her, Lord God. You allowed her to see a new birthday this month, dear Heavenly Father, and we thank you for that, because we know earlier, dear Father, she had fallen, dear Father, down her flight of steps in her home, Lord God, and we thank you, Lord God, that you cradled her and covered her, dear Father, and kept her from a lot of injuries, Lord God. No doubt she may have been a little stiff and may have found a couple things later on, or bumps or little bruises on her, dear Father. But Lord God, you protected her, Lord God, in her own home, dear Heavenly Father. And we are thankful and grateful to you for that, Lord God. Ask that you would continue looking upon our dear sister. Ask that you would be with her, Lord God. Be with her in the middle of the night, dear Heavenly Father. Send her songs, dear Heavenly Father. Comfort her heart. Send her songs to comfort her spirit, Lord God. Yes. Thank you and ask that you would continue to bless and be with her. Father, we ask in the name of Jesus that you remember Brother Reggie. We thank you for him and all you've done for our dear brother. Thank you, Lord God, for how you're bringing him around, dear Heavenly Father. And we ask that you would continue to bless and be with him. Father, we don't want to forget anyone, so we're just going to ask in the name of Jesus that you remember all the people of God that have gathered in the house of God this morning. Remember those who are online, dear Heavenly Father. Lord, we ask a special prayer and blessing upon Sister Ferris Day. We weren't able to reach her on Wednesday, Lord God, but we know, Lord God, that she was looking for a job, and we just pray, Lord God, and ask that you would bless her, dear Father, to be able to find one, dear Heavenly Father. We know, Lord God, that it's difficult in this time right now in which we live, dear Father, but, oh God, we know nothing is too hard for you. There's nothing impossible, Lord God, when it's placed in your hands, dear Father. So we just ask that you would bless and get the glory out of her life. Continue to remember Sister Sandy, Lord God, as she listens in online, dear Father. Remember her desires, dear Heavenly Father. We ask that you would continue to strengthen her body, spirit, mind, and soul, that she may be able to get out a little bit more, dear Heavenly Father, to the house of the Lord. Remembering Lord Monty and his family, Lord God, and ask a special prayer upon them likewise, dear Father. Help him, Lord God, to step out in faith to be in the house of the Lord, dear Heavenly Father. It's nothing like being here with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Nothing like being here when we gather together in the house of the Lord, dear Father, and praise your name together, dear Heavenly Father. Lord, we ask that you would remember, Lord God, Brother Thompson down in Georgia, dear Father. Thank you for this dear brother. Ask a special prayer upon him, Lord God. Continue to be his guide and his direction, Lord God, and his strength, Lord God. Remembering Sister Sanders there in Florida, dear Father. Thank you for her. Thank you for all that you have done for this dear sister and her family. Remember Sister Teresa and Sister Amy, Lord, in a special way likewise, and their children and all the grands, dear Heavenly Father. Oh, Father, we want to thank you this morning when we saw Brother Harvey here, dear Father, and how you blessed him, dear Lord, how you have been with him, Lord God, and how, Lord God, you kept him from getting COVID, even though he was exposed to it, you kept him from getting it physically himself. We thank you for that, dear Heavenly Father, and thank you for this dear young man. Thank you, dear Lord, you allowed him to see his 15th birthday, dear Father. Oh, Father, what a blessing, dear Father. Oh, he's quiet. He's quiet, dear Heavenly Father. But he's learning, dear Father, how to be a saint of God. Amen. And we thank you for that. Remember all the other children that are here this morning. We ask special prayer and blessing upon Haley, dear Father, little Olivia, Lord God, and Grant. And Father, no doubt in my heart, dear Father, little Tatum and Liam are on their way with their mother. We ask that you grant traveling mercies for them over the highway and keep them safe, dear Heavenly Father, as they journey on their way to the house of the Lord. Oh, Father, we just pray and ask that you remember Sister Laurentine. She's downstairs, dear Father. We thank you for this dear sister. Thank you for her growth in you, dear Heavenly Father. Ask your blessings upon her, dear Father. Remember her too in her body, spirit, mind, and soul. Oh, Father, thank you for taking care of us. Thank you, Lord God, for your hand of mercy and love extended to all of us this day. Oh, Father, you've been good to us, dear Heavenly Father. We can't thank you enough for all the goodness, dear Father, you have given to us. Oh, as Sister asked downstairs for the children, what were their prayer requests? And I think of little Haley. And Father, when she began to give her list, dear Father, she said, thank you for how God provides for our family. Thank you for our health. Thank you for our food. Thank you for a roof over our head. Thank you that we're all healthy. My. Thank you, Lord God. Oh, Father, we can't thank you enough for all your goodness unto us. We said, we know the word of God tells us you daily load up us with benefits. And Father, we have felt your benefits that you are loading unto us. Oh, Father, even in the midst when we're having sorrow in our life, you are still there giving, dear Heavenly Father. Your arms are still outstretched. And I know you are, dear Heavenly Father, for the Keith family. I know you are for the Jenkins family on the loss of little Kevin, dear Father. Oh, my God in heaven, we thank you and we praise you, Lord God. We ask that you look in upon the family in a mighty way, Lord God. We can only imagine, dear Father, although we are an extended part of this family, we can only imagine what the mother and father might be going through to lose their six-year-old child. But we know, dear Heavenly Father, you don't make a mistake, and we know, Heavenly Father, that all things are in your hands. And so we ask in the name of Jesus, Lord God, that you send an extra comfort to this family, that you send an extra bread and brace, dear Heavenly Father. Help them to know we are lifting them up to you, dear Father. Help them to know, dear Heavenly Father, that they are in your tender care, Lord God. Oh, Father in heaven, we pray in the name of Jesus that you would continue to shelter over top of them. And Father, we want to thank you also. I thank you for my dear cousin, Sil Marie. Lord, as she has told us, dear Father, we've been praying for, and the saints of God have been praying for. And she's on the prayer list, and she said that things are turning around for her.
Great.
Oh, yeah, and yesterday she was a little fatigued, but she said in general, the doctors told her she didn't have to come back for the next, I believe, 3 or 4 months for treatment.
Thank
My
you,
God,
Lord.
I know I serve a God
Great.
In heaven
God.
Who is able to do all things but fail. And we thank you from the depths of our heart. We thank you for all that you've done for us, all that thou art doing and going to do on our behalf. We thank you for our family of God. We thank you, Lord, for our brothers and sisters in Christ. We thank you for those we worship with in this house of God. We thank you for this house of God. Oh, we oftentimes hear folks say, well, you're a small house of God, but we are powerful in you, Lord God. We are powerful in the spirit of Almighty God. And to God be the glory for
Thank
great
you,
things
Lord.
He has done.
Thank
and
you,
Father,
Lord.
We lift you up this morning. We, Lord, we exalt your name above all names. We know that you are the God of this universe. We know that you created this earth out of nothing. And we know you are able, dear Heavenly Father, to save
Thank
a sin-sick soul. We pray for the neighbors around this neighborhood. We pray for this neighborhood in general, Lord God. We pray for our country, Lord God. We pray for our world, Lord God. Oh, all the unrest we see all around us, dear Father. Each and every day we are hearing of another killing, another shooting, another someone dying at the hands of a police officer or someone dying at the hands of someone else. But I thank you this morning that my life is in your hands. And if this old world seems to want to take me out, I know I have a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens, and I'm ready, Lord God, to meet you the day you want me to come. Help us all to stay ready to leave this earth. Oh, yes, we want to stay here to see our family. Oh, yes, we want to see our grand grow up. Oh, yes, we want to know and see our loved ones, but we know we're living in some terrible times, the perilous times all around us, but so let us make our peace calling and election sure with you. Help us in the name of Jesus to get deeper in your word. Help us in the name of Jesus to get deeper in our love for you and our love for the saints of God, our love for the Spirit of God, our love for doing things that are right according to your word of God. We know that many are going astray. Many are running in the broad way, but help this congregation to stay in the straight and narrow way so that when we leave this old earth, that we will make heaven our home. Praise be to Almighty God. Thank you for all that you've done for us. Thank you for what you're going to do. Thank you in the name of Jesus that you've given us a privilege and an opportunity to be able to come to you in prayer. Oh, God, we don't take that lightly this morning, but we ask in the name of Jesus that you remember Miss Betty in a special way. We pray, Lord God, that you would touch her in her body. We know, Lord God, she's ailing in her legs, Lord God, but, oh, Father, we pray that that doesn't keep her to stay away from the house of God. Oh, she goes everywhere else to help her, Lord, to be able to come to the house of God, dear Father. Oh, we just want to thank you this morning. Oh, you've been good to us, Lord God. Oh, we thank you from the depths of our heart for all that you've done for us. Get the glory out of our lives, dear Father. Thank you for Sister Blake. I thank you, Lord God. How you've been with her, Lord God, and her sweet spirit, Lord God. Thank you, dear Father, for comforting words, dear Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord God, for brothers and sisters who love you, Lord God, who want to do, who want to live right, dear Father. So that when we leave this old world, dear Father, our heaven will be our home. Father, we ask in the name of Jesus, remember those we haven't seen in a while and ask that you would bless. Remember Mrs. Sister Burton, dear Father, in a special way, Lord God, remember in her body. We pray that you touch and heal. Remember Sister Ruth, dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for her and ask your blessings upon her, dear Father. We know she says she's got some upcoming surgeries. But, Father, we ask in the name of Jesus that you go ahead of the surgeon, Lord God. You know all about her, dear Father. You know what she stands in need of, dear Father. Give her her heart's desire. Help her, Lord, to press on, dear Heavenly Father. Help her, Lord, not to look back, dear Father, but to know, dear Heavenly Father, her hand is in your hand, dear Heavenly Father. Oh, Father, we just want to thank you this morning for all that you've done for us. Remember those all who are maybe still on their way. We ask that you would hasten them along safely over the highways. Oh, Father, we just pray that you remember Sister Millicent as she leads the devotional service. We thank you for this dear sister. Thank you for all your blessings upon her. Remember her in a mighty way, dear Heavenly Father. Now, Lord, we ask that you would get the glory out of our lives. We pray, Lord God, when it comes time to the preaching of the word, dear Father, that you would anoint me afresh to do your will, dear Father. Oh, Father, I stand before you in humble submission to your will, dear Lord. Have thine own way in our lives and in this service, dear Father. And we'll be so careful this day to give your name the praise, the glory, the honor. In Jesus' name we pray and we thank you. Amen.
Amen.
Praise.
In your bulletin, you should find the song, Make Me a Servant. Make Me a Servant.
Thank you. Make me a servant. Be in your bulletin. Amen.
Make me a servant. Humble and meek. Lord, let me lift up the
to God this morning.
Amen.
Thanking him for his goodness.
Yes.
Thanking him for his power to make us servants.
Amen.
Amen. Because at one time we were enemies of God.
Yes.
But through the blood of Jesus, through the precious blood of our Savior,
Amen.
God drew us to him.
Yes.
And now we can say, Lord, make me a servant, because we've surrendered our heart, soul, mind, and spirit to him. And so
Amen.
We can be meat for the master's use. And so we just thank God this morning for his goodness. Thank God for the season of prayer this morning.
Amen.
Thank God for the Holy Spirit already working in prayer.
Amen.
Thank God for his goodness. Amen. Giving honor to our dear pastor, Pastor Jenkins, this morning, and thanking God for her, thanking God for his using her already to bless our souls, just giving glory and honor to God this morning. Greetings and
thanks to see each and every one who are present here today, knowing that God has blessed us from the last time we saw each other, even to this time. So truly we are blessed in the Lord. Glad to be among you this morning. Our responsive reading is St. John chapter 11. Reading verses 25 and 26, and we will read them in unison. Two verses. St. John chapter 11, verses 25 and 26, and we will read them in unison. Amen. Thank God for his word. Amen. Amen. St. John, chapter 11, verses 25 and 26. Amen. Together, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Amen. Do we believe this?
Amen.
Jesus asked the question. I believe it too. Amen. Praise our God. We know that without faith it is impossible to please him. We have to believe there are some things that we must believe according to the word of God. Thank God for his goodness to us. Amen. We're so thankful, as we said, for the prayer that God gave to Pastor Jenkins. We're so thankful. Our hearts were touched. Our hearts were stirred up by the prayer that she rendered to the Lord. And yet we know the Lord said, pray without ceasing. And so we're going to ask if there are special requests, perhaps something that the Spirit has not yet brought out to be prayed for before we have this next season of prayer. Are there special requests? We know that the Lord, the Spirit of God, gave Pastor, brought to her mind so many things that perhaps would have been requested. And we thank God for that. The Lord knows what we need even before we ask. But perhaps there may be another special request on someone's heart, either by word of mouth or uplifted hand. Sister Regina. Amen. Amen. Thank the Lord. Thank God for you. Amen. Pray for your eyes. Amen. Amen. God bless you, Sister Holmes. Amen. Sister Carol. The Potts family. You remember the Potts family and their bereavement.
Blake, I said, you remember one of my coworkers, Lisa's daughter, Elena. She's been having seizures. They took her into the hospital the other day and ran some tests, and they were trying to get her to have a seizure so that they could diagnose it, but couldn't. Thank the Lord, but they're just watching her now. I want to say she's in her early teens. She's somewhere in there. She's young. But I ask that you remember Elena, please.
Amen. That's a co-worker's daughter who's having seizures. Amen. Whose name is Elena. Amen. Sister Maria. Amen. Thank the Lord. Thank God. Sister Smith. Yeah.
Also,
Amen. Amen. There's something that you said just now, Sister Smith. You said there's more to being in sin. And that is so true. Because the devil doesn't show them the other side. The devil doesn't show them the wages of sin is death. They see one side and think that that's what they want to seek after, what they want to run after, the way that they want to live. But the devil is a liar, and he is a destroyer. And so when you said that, that was a good way to put it. Amen. Amen. Please remember our pastor. She will bring the message before us. God will bless. We're so thankful even for the message from last Lord's Day. And to know that the Lord's going to give us some more of that.
Amen.
That was like the first course, maybe the first and second course of the dinner. And now today, the Lord's going to give us more courses of the dinner. Amen. And so it's up to us to receive, to have that appetite for the word and to receive it. So lift her up in prayer. Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Sister Maria. Those who come and have not come, we have not seen them come back. They say, oh, I enjoyed the message. Oh, it's everyone's been so nice and kind to me and so on. And they say they'll be back, but they don't, but we haven't seen them. And so we'll keep praying for them. Amen, amen. And also those, as Sister Maria said, who have not been blessed as we have been blessed. Those who have needs. Yeah. All general, yes, Sister Carol. Hudepoles, the Hudepole family. Amen. 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 Remember all of those who are on our prayer list as well. Amen.
Blake, also thank the saints for your prayers for a friend of mine. She's a former co-worker of mine, but her mother was monitored at COVID at 90. She is home now.
Amen.
Thank you for her prayer warriors. Thank you.
Amen. Thank the Lord. God can do all things. Amen. Amen. There are those that you know, mankind, the doctors label as vulnerable, but when you're in God's hands, you're not vulnerable. You're just in his hands. And God has there's no weakness in God. Amen. Praise God. All general requests. Y'all need something from the Lord. After the hymn of meditation, we'll ask Brother Jackson if he would take us to the throne of grace.
Amen.
And if there's one who has a need, the altar is here. And the Lord is able to hear our humble cry. So feel free.
In your bulletin, you should have another sheet. Kneel at the cross. Kneel at the cross. Same verse 1 and 2, the chorus. 3 and 4, the chorus. Should be she in your bulletin, kneel at the cross.
Kneel at the cross, Christ will meet you there. Come while he waits for you. Lift to his voice. Leave with him your care and We'll meet you there.
Amen. Praise our God.
Amen. Let us look to the Lord.
Amen.
Father God, truly we thank you, Lord, for this day that you've given us. Thank you for your multiple blessings upon us, dear Heavenly Father, each and every day, each and every moment, dear Heavenly Father, of our lives. Thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for this straight and narrow walk that you've given us that we can walk. Thank you for thy Son, Jesus, who paved the way, dear Heavenly Father, that we can hold on to his hand and just go on, dear Heavenly Father, knowing that each and every trial, affliction, and sorrow, heartbreak, and anything that we go through draws us closer to thee and thy precious holy love, Lord. And we want to thank you, dear Heavenly Father, that, Lord, I thank you for placing me here. I may take a moment just to speak for myself, Lord. I am so thankful and grateful for what you have done for me. Lord, each and every day, I want to draw closer in thy will, dear Heavenly Father. I thank you, Father God, when I wake up out of my bed, that the steps that you have ordered for me are sitting there waiting for me. And Lord, I pray, dear Heavenly Father, that all those who you bring across my pathway, dear Heavenly Father, that I may be able to shed a word or drop a seed on your behalf.
Amen.
So when the day is over, dear Heavenly Father, and I come back into my home, I thank you, Lord, for everything, everything that you're going to do for me. And Lord, I want to thank you for all my family members, dear Heavenly Father, here in the Church of God, dear Heavenly Father, who I labor with, and those, dear Heavenly Father, of my seed, dear God. I ask that you remember my grandson, James, in a special way, my Lord, who I have been talking to, dear Heavenly Father, and realizing, yes, young man, I partially take the blame for it, dear Heavenly Father. He gave his heart to thee when he was 14 years of age. But Lord, I pray and ask in Jesus' name that you continue to talk to him, dear Heavenly Father. Lord, that you know that he has to carry his cross. I can't carry it for him.
Amen.
But Lord, I ask in Jesus' name that you would continue to guide and lead him in the way that he should go. And Lord, that he would come back and have fellowship with us, dear Heavenly Father. His heart's desire that he will, but Lord, realizing that he doesn't have the understanding and wisdom that you've given me. And I think about the patience that you have with me, dear Heavenly Father. And otherwise, I wouldn't be standing here today. So my heart goes out and I lay down my bread and water continually for him, dear Heavenly Father, for all of my children. And Lord, I feel the still lift up those who have passed on before us. Brother Bill Morgan, how he used to always lift up his voice with his Twyla, his daughter, Lord. Remember that prayer request, dear Heavenly Father. And also for Sister Summers, listen to her voice, dear Heavenly Father, over that cell phone for her family members. And Sister Fluellen, dear Heavenly Father, is in nursing facilities. I ask that you remember her and her family members, dear Heavenly Father. And remember mankind all over globally, dear Heavenly Father, because you said if you be lifted up here on this earth, you would draw all men unto thee. We have a job to do, dear Heavenly Father. So we pray for them that our land may be healed, dear Heavenly Father.
Amen.
Come against this here spirit of hatred. Lord, it's not of thee. Perfect love casteth out all fear.
Yes.
Lord, that mankind, gender neutral, may know thee, dear Heavenly Father, that the pardons of their sins, that you may speak peace to their souls, dear Heavenly Father, and to all of our neighbors. I thank you, Lord, for my neighbor next door to me for answering prayers, dear Heavenly Father. I don't hear that loud music. In fact, the people who came by and cut my grass yesterday, he even came out and asked them would they clean up his yard. And so I thank you, dear Heavenly Father, that I may be able to share a few words to him, dear Heavenly Father. You open the door and the opportunity. Lord, I ask that you remember each and every prayer request that was mentioned here. Remember Sister Renee's prayer request, dear Heavenly Father, and we ask that you remember Sister Millicent's prayer request. Sister Blake didn't ask for a prayer request, but I ask that you continue to remember her, Lord, and standing faithfully, Heavenly Father. You said, know those who labor among you. Lord, remember all the sisters and brothers here, that you may be glorified in every work, everything that we do, dear Heavenly Father. Remember them. And remember, dear Heavenly Father, Brother Byron, he wasn't up here, but remember his family today. Understand that his daughter is here and celebrating his wife's birthday. May she have many more, Lord. But most important, may she give her heart to thee, a day that she'll never forget, dear Heavenly Father. Remember her. Remember his son, Jacob, who's employed in the military. Ask the Heavenly Father that you remember Sister Carol's prayer request, dear Heavenly Father. And dear Sister Regina, remember her prayer request. Remember the household family members. And remember their brother Frank, dear Heavenly Father, and especially in his household, that his soul may be saved and not lost. Ask that you remember Sister Holmes' prayer request. Remember her in body and in spirit, dear Heavenly Father, and her walk with thee continually. And remember all of her family members, how they gather around her and help her, dear Heavenly Father. And every day she comes in here, dear Heavenly Father, it's good to see her. We know that we are growing older, and one day, dear Heavenly Father, we'll maybe be in that same position, dear Heavenly Father, but it's joy and love in the house of the Lord. So we ask that you continue to remember her, dear Heavenly Father, and all those on the prayer list, not forgetting them, and all those in the nursing institutions, and remember those, dear Heavenly Father, less fortunate than we are, that have to have 24/7 care, dear Heavenly Father, can't help themselves, can't dress themselves, dear Heavenly Father, can't feed themselves. Remember them, dear Heavenly Father, and remember the homeless. Ask that you remember dear Sister Smith's prayer request, and ask you continue to bless her going out and coming in. Remember Sister Lauren seeing, dear Heavenly Father, and she didn't give a prayer request, but remember her, dear Heavenly Father, and ask that you remember those in the radio room back in Sister Melita. Remember her daughter Jasmine, dear Heavenly Father, her son Brandon, Lord, and his household and family members. And remember her spouse, Joby, in a special way that his heart may be saved and not lost, dear Heavenly Father. I pray for all unsaved spouses, all of our unsaved children, dear Heavenly Father. Sister Smith said they need to be saved and not lost, because if you're not here or saved or praying or reading the word or in church, Lord, they're serving Satan. So help them to understand and realize that the serious walk, dear Heavenly Father, and that they don't have too long. We don't know when death is going to come. We see it every day, dear Heavenly Father. Teenagers taking their own life, dear Heavenly Father, haven't even become a young man yet, shooting one another and or getting shot. Babies, dear Heavenly Father, remember this world situation. And we ask, dear Heavenly Father, that you remember Sister Maria's prayer request, dear Heavenly Father, she made. Remember her husband, Brother DeAndre, and we ask that you remember her children. Remember Grant and Haley, dear Heavenly Father, here today. And thank you for the kids, and thank you for Brother Harbier. Remember him. And remember, dear Brother Manns, dear Heavenly Father, at the door, dear Heavenly Father, and his family members. I've seen Officer Todd there. I ask that you remember him and Lord and his walk with you and his family members, that one day, Lord, we may be able to call him brother instead of officer. Remember him in Jesus' name, I pray. Remember all our neighbors. Remember Sister Lillian. And I don't want to forget anyone, dear Heavenly Father, and the feathers of this service. I ask that you bless Sister Renee, dear Heavenly Father, with boldness from above, that we may receive our second part of this message that you've given her with gladness and great joy. Let our cups just run over and give you, Lord, when it's all said and done, we'll give you the praise and glory and honor our life that you are so rightfully due. In Jesus' name I do pray. Amen.
Thank the Lord.
Praise God. I'm so glad that God hears the prayers of his people. Amen. Thank God. I'm before you to lift the morning offering. This is the third Sunday of the month, and so the offering for today is for for food pantry.
Mm-hmm.
Food pantry. Getting mixed up a little bit. Special offering is for food pantry. And so that offering may be placed into the center plate, and your tithes and other offerings may be placed on either side. We'll look to the Lord in prayer. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, dear God, for your goodness. We thank you, dear Father, for your presence already manifested, dear God, in our midst, dear Father. Lord, even in the prayers that have gone up to thee, dear God.
Amen.
Lord, we pray, dear Father, that you would, Lord, bless, dear Father, even in this offering, dear God. Lord, we know, dear God, that you have already, Lord, given to us, Lord, so many things to enjoy, dear God, most of all, salvation. Lord, we pray, dear God, that you would bless, dear God, and receive these offerings, dear God, for truly, Lord, you have, Lord, blessed us, dear Father, and made provision for us, dear God, for the things that we need in this life. Lord, you even said, Lord, if we seek first the kingdom of God and your righteousness, Lord, then all these other things would be added unto us. And truly, Lord, you have kept your promises to us, dear God. Lord, we pray, dear Father, that you would bless, dear God, us, Lord, as we bring our offerings, our tithes and offerings into the storehouse. We pray, dear God, that you would give wisdom, Lord, for their use, dear God. Knowing, dear God, that you have already blessed us mightily, dear Father, and we give you glory and praise and thanks, Lord, for that. We pray, dear God, that you would multiply these offerings, Lord, as only you can, and, Lord, that you would use them to your glory. Bless souls, dear God. Bless, dear God, those who are in need. We pray, dear Father, that you would just continue to bless us, Lord, to help us, Lord, ever to look to thee, dear God. Knowing, Lord, that our sufficiency is in thee, dear God. Lord, for it's you, Lord, who give us strength to come and go and to get gain, dear God. Lord, we never, dear God, want to think, dear God, that anything, dear God, that you have supplied us with, dear God, was wrought by our own hands, dear God. For truly we know, Lord, that, Lord, you, Lord, are the ones who send the blessings down. Lord, we pray, dear God, that you would receive these blessings, Lord, and bless each gift and giver. And use them to your glory and honor. This we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
We have heard the joyful sound. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Spread the tidings all around. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Bear the news to every land. Climb the steep and cross the waves. Onward to our Lord's command. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Bend it on the rolling tide. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Tell to sinners far and wide. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Sing ye islands of the sea. Echo back ye ocean with grace. Earth shall keep for Jubilee. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Sing upon the battle's cry. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. By his death and endless life. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Sing it softly through. When the heart for mercy craves, sing and try for the tomb. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. mighty voice, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Let the nations now rejoice, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Shout salvation full and free, high as hills and even caves. Sing the song of victory.
I'm standing on the God.
All the scorn that rages, rich in love, I'm rich. Not from Satan's wages. I'm standing on the solid rock.
Praise
Amen.
God.
Rich. We're talking about rich. We're talking about being rich down in that Sunday school class. We're rich, but not from Satan's wages. Amen. We are not in his employ. Amen. God is our master. Amen. And we're standing on the rock, standing on our Jesus. Amen. He is the solid rock. Amen. Said, be very sure your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. Amen. Time in times like these. Amen. Shall we stand? Amen. We better be standing.
Amen.
Amen. Thank God. Thank God for his word.
Amen.
Praise God. Amen. Amen. Didn't have to interview. Amen. Praise our God. Amen. Thank you. What a mighty God.
What a mighty God.
Amen.
Praise our God.
Yes, yes, yes. Amen. And all because we believe. Jesus said, believe in me. Amen. We know that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And that's what we want to hear right now. We want to hear the word
of
God. So that the Lord can strengthen our faith. Amen.
Amen.
So we're going to look to the Lord and lift up Pastor Jenkins in prayer. We're going to lift her up in prayer to the Lord. And we're all going to pray for ourselves that we may hear and receive the word. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for all that our hearts have felt this morning, dear God. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that we can rejoice in the God of our salvation. Lord, we thank you, dear God, Lord, that we can testify that I'm standing on the rock of ages. Lord, we thank you, dear God, for this rock, dear God. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your word today, dear God. And Lord, we pray, dear Father, Lord, that as it goes forth, Lord, that it would accomplish, Lord, the purpose for which you send it. Lord, we pray, Lord, your anointing be on Pastor Jenkins in the name of Jesus. Lord, we're asking, Lord, that you would strengthen her, dear God. Lord, we pray, dear God, that you would anoint her with power from on high to preach your eternal word, dear God. Lord, that souls might be strengthened. Lord, that souls might be saved, dear God. Lord, that if there's one, dear God, who is, Lord, about to turn back, Lord, that they would not turn back, dear God. Lord, but would take a stand for thee, dear Father. For Lord, we know, dear God, that you're able, Lord, to help us to stand. Your grace is sufficient, dear God, for us, Lord. All we have to do, Lord, is take hold on your eternal word, Lord, and obey it. So, Lord, we're praying, dear God, that you would have your way, Lord, that your spirit, Lord, would anoint, dear God, for the preaching of your word, that your spirit would anoint for the hearing of your word, Lord, that your spirit would anoint for the obeying of your eternal word, dear God. Lord, we pray, dear God, if there are any, Lord, who don't know you in the pardon of their sins, Lord, that you may be found, Lord, through your word this morning, dear God. And, Lord, that they would come, Lord, seeking you for the saving of their souls, dear God. Lord, to save them, dear God, from eternity in hell, dear God, in the darkness, dear God, terrible, terrible kingdom, dear Father. That, Lord, we pray, dear God, that souls, dear God, would seek you, dear God. For, Lord, we see, Lord, that these are the last days, dear God. And, Lord, that they would, Lord, seek you now, Lord, because we realize, Lord, that now is the day of salvation. Lord, have your way, Lord, in our hearts and in our minds. Help us, dear God, to be sure, Lord, that we're walking, Lord, the way that you've told us to walk, dear God. Lord, we don't want to fall in any way, dear God, of this great salvation, dear God. Lord, we pray, dear God, that you would help us, dear Father, give us understanding. And, Lord, if we don't have understanding, Lord, help us, Lord, to continue to seek for it, dear God. Lord, we don't want to reject your word, Lord, because we don't understand. But, Lord, we want to take in your word, dear God, and pray that you would give us the knowledge and the understanding that we need, dear Father.
Amen.
Lord, we know, Lord, that it's not your will that any be lost, dear God. Lord, it's not your will that we be ignorant of your word, dear God. But we know, Lord, that your spirit is our teacher. So help us, Lord, to seek your spirit, dear God. And with all our getting, help us, Lord, to get understanding. Have your way, Lord, in our hearts and in our minds. And, Lord, we're going to give you glory and praise, Lord, as we sit, dear God, in attention, Lord, and in expectation, Lord, that your spirit is going to teach us even right now. This we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Pastor Jenkins.
Good afternoon. Giving glory and honor to God. Truly thank God for Sister Blake. Give an honor to Sister Blake. Thank God for the prayer, the devotional service. How many can say, I know my God is real?
Praise God.
You know, the song poet said, my God is real, for I can what? Feel him deep in my soul. Can you feel him deep in your soul? Praise our God. Thank God that our God is real this afternoon. Thank God for his goodness to us. Thank God for each and every one of you, those who are listening in broadcast. We thank God for you likewise and trust that you are joining in the service and thanking God like we are.
Amen.
Trust you have your Bibles and a writing instrument. Like the children to sit up, Haley, Grant, sit up in the seats and listen and get your writing instruments out so that you may capture the scriptures, because the word of God is for each and every one of us. And thank God for that it's been left on record for us. In our hearing this morning, we read John, the 11th chapter, verses 25 through 26. We would like to once again go to Matthew, the 24th chapter, verse 24, to get the subject that the Lord has laid on my heart to share with you in continuation, the message from last Lord's Day.
Lord,
Matthew 24, verse 24. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. As the Lord grants me liberty this afternoon, I would like to continue sharing thoughts with you on the subject, believe in me. We learned on last Lord's Day that believing in Jesus and having a relationship with God sets us free from our old life of guilt, sin, and shame. We're told in Romans, the 8th chapter, verse 2, for the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. John 8, verse 36 says, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. And in Galatians 5, verse 1, we are instructed to stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Are you free this afternoon? I know in our country, Americans feel they are free because of their First and Second Amendment rights. But spiritually speaking, they are bound to a life of sin. They have freedom of speech or expression. They have freedom to assemble. They have freedom to speak about being free. But when I say, are we free? I'm speaking about, are you free in Jesus? Has his blood cleansed your sins? You see, he is the source of our freedom. And only through Christ can we experience peace, happiness, joy, and satisfaction in our souls. Only through Jesus can we have salvation. Only through Jesus can we have the love of God within us. Yes, he is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus Christ was sent by God the Father into this old world to save us from our sins.
who knew no sin and neither was guile found in his mouth. You see, only one thing separated us from God and would keep us out of heaven, and that was sin, and it still is sin today. Don't let anyone fool you this afternoon. There are not many roads that lead to heaven. God has only one way of salvation for sinners, and his way is not based upon any human reform or any human effort, but upon the finished work of his beloved Son, Jesus Christ. You see, his sacrifice of Christ paid the debt you and I owe. If you are in sin in your life today, you will never make heaven your eternal home until you come to Jesus Christ. Our God is in heaven. And because God is holy, heaven is a holy place. And a holy place cannot contain sin. You see, this is one of the greatest misconceptions in the religious world today. We hear those who say they are Christians. Even ministers telling folks, I sin. Everyone sins. God knows you can't help but sin. Look at the devil. He was an angel that fell by grace. Not so. Just as God condemned the sin of disobedience in the Garden of Eden, he condemns all sin today, and especially in his people. He tells us that in choosing sin, we choose death. We're told in Romans, the 6th chapter, verse 23, it says, for the wages of sin is death. I say to you this afternoon, do you believe the word of God? Yeah. Yeah. You see, we're living in a time right now where people question things. They question everything because they feel they have a right to question. Oh, I have the freedom that I can question this or I can question that. However, when it comes to us as the children of God, we have the word of God, which is our roadmap, so to speak, into heaven, into the kingdom of Almighty God. It is the word of God that was left on record for you and I so that we know how to live for Almighty God. It is the same word of God which David said in the word, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. It is the word of God that is going to carry you and I through. You think about what Jesus said in the word of God. He said there in John, that first chapter and that first verse, turn with me there for a moment. He let us know, he said, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. How many believe what thus saith the Lord? Then when you go down, Jesus went on to say, the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And he's speaking of himself, Jesus Christ. John is speaking of Jesus Christ. He went on to say, in him was life, and the light was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John, speaking of John the Baptist. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the life. Saints of God, are you and I bearing witness of the life this afternoon? Brother prayed about it in his prayer. Brother prayed that every time he gets out of his bed in the morning, he wants his feet to be ordered in the steps of Almighty God. How many of us can say we want the same thing when we get out of our beds in the morning? We want to be able to tell someone about Jesus Christ, of what he has done for you and I. He goes on to say that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. John the Baptist was not the light that he was speaking of. He was speaking of Jesus Christ, who is the light. That's why many now have gone out and set themselves up, and they've made churches, and this is the church of John the Baptist. No such thing, because John the Baptist wasn't lifting himself up, but he was letting us know about Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ is the light of man. He went on to say that that was was the true life, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him. Do you believe that? And the world knew him not. He came unto his own, saints of God, and his own received him not. But as many received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believed on his name. And that is the same as it is today. Not everybody is going to believe in Jesus Christ. Not everybody is going to believe that he is the Son of God. You see, we're living in a time right now, you know, you tell folks about salvation. You let them know that Jesus Christ died for all mankind's sin. You let them know that Jesus God sent his Son into the world to die so that you and I might live. So many of them believe, well, if Jesus died, I don't have to do anything. Oh, yes, you do. You got to believe on him that died for you. You got to come to God. Just because Jesus died does not mean that you are automatically in the kingdom of God. Not so. You've got to come into the kingdom of God. You got to be born into the family of God. You got to be regenerated into the family of God. Just because he died does not give you a right to the kingdom. It just allows you to be able to come. Praise our God for his word. He goes on to say in verse 13, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Oh, and look at verse 14. And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Yeah. No one thing this afternoon. Our God has not changed his requirements for entering into the kingdom of heaven. Our God is not confused about what he has said in his word. The religious world has so confused Christianity with wrong teaching and wrong interpretations. We are told in Malachi 3, verse 6, for I am the Lord, I change not. 1 Corinthians 14, 33 says, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. You see, this is what happens when we forget the importance of God's word as our unwavering guide. Satan seeks to cause chaos, disorder, death, and destruction. Sister Smith said it. He's a destroyer. He has everyone going their own way except the way of the word of God. The word of God has not been changed on the way to enter into the kingdom of God. We are told, turn with me for a moment in Acts, the third chapter, verse 19. Look at what it says here. It said, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you. You see, sin has and is still destroying our country as a whole. Just look around at all of the unrest in our land today. Yesterday, I found myself sitting, listening to hymns, and just crying about the sadness that is invading our land. I cried out to God because of my grandchildren as to what type of world this has become for them to be raised in. Luke 23 gives us these solemn words from our Savior. Verse 28 says, but Jesus, turning unto them, said, daughters of Jerusalem, he said, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. Oh, thanks to God. I find that our weeping days are here. Our world is broken and it is waxing worse and worse just before our very eyes. As we said on last Lord's Day, sin carries a tremendous price tag. Just look at how mankind treats one another because of the color of one's skin. My Bible tells me in Acts 17:26, and has made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth. Mankind needs Jesus. Mankind needs the love of God in them. As we studied in our Sunday school lesson last Lord's Day, you see, without the love of God, We don't have the love for others. The adult emphasis said God gives his love to his people. We cannot love and forgive others without God's love in us. You see, as Christians, we can only forgive and love because the Spirit of God lives within us. How many believe that? And God provides through his Spirit the ability for you and I to do so. As the commentator said in our Sunday school lesson, love is not made by trying, but God's love must be put into us. And that comes through having your sins forgiven. Oh, it all boils down to that. You've got to be born again. You've got to be born now of God and not of what from your natural birth. You think about as saints of God, because when we were out there in the world, we didn't love like we love right now. We didn't have the love of Almighty God in us. We were just like the world is running right now, and the world is killing and doing various things. We may not have killed anybody, but we did not have the love of God in us. Turn with me to Titus, the third chapter, and look at what Titus says here in this scripture. He says there in that third verse, he said, for we ourselves also were sometimes foolish. Thanks to God, when we were out there in the world, we were sometimes foolish, like the foolish things people are doing today. He said, disobedient. We were deceived. We were serving divers lusts and pleasures. We were living in malice and envy. Oh, don't gloat about these things. This is not about gloating, but we are bringing what the word of God is saying to you and I. He went on to say we were hateful and hating one another. But look at what he says in verse 4. I thank God for these buts. He said, but after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us, what? By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Praise our God. That is why the world cannot forgive like a saint of God. The world cannot forgive. Why? Because they do not have the love of Almighty God in them. Praise our God. Oh, I thank God for his word. You see, mankind's greatest need is God. Mankind's greatest need is to have their sins forgiven and cleansed. This is the only way for them to be able to love one another, and the only way for them to be reconciled to Almighty God. But how is this possible? No matter how good we are, we can never erase our own sins. Only God can do this. That is what he did by sending Jesus Christ into the world to die for our sins. Turn with me to John, the third chapter, and look at what it says in the word of God. Oh, and I know, saints of God, we know this scripture quite well. We can quote it without even looking it up in the word of God. But let us look at what it says here. Oh, I thank God for the King James Version. I was looking at another version just the other day because it came up, and I was looking at it, and the words have changed so much even in this scripture right here. But I thank God. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. See, you got to believe in God. He went on to say, for God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be what? Saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. It is only through Christ that we have life. It is only through Christ we have forgiveness. It's only through Christ we are sanctified by his blood, by the Holy Spirit of God, by living every word of God. To the lost that are listening in this afternoon, I say to you in all earnest heart, don't turn your back on God's love, but by a prayer of faith and belief, commit your life to Christ Jesus today. Come while he is calling you. Don't wait another moment to come to Jesus. It is important for you to know where you are headed when you leave this life. Every day, and I have to say, as brother was saying, I arise I thank God for allowing me the privilege and opportunity to serve him another day. I thank God that I have my past sins covered by the blood and my nature has been cleansed. However, if I choose to willfully sin, as the word of God says in Hebrews 10:26, the Bible tells me there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. You may say, Sister Renee, what is sin? Sin is a known transgression against the divine law of God. It is any action or feeling or thought that goes against God's standards. It includes breaking God's law by doing what is wrong or unrighteous in God's sight. I know that each new generational time that comes around has its own interpretation of what it means to commit sin or what they deem to be sinful. But however, the Bible says in 1 John the 3rd chapter, verse 4, whosoever committeth sin transgresses also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. 1 John 5, verse 17 says, all unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. Also, the Bible describes sins of omission, that is failing to do what is right. James 4, verse 17 says, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And then we are told in the 66th division of Psalms, verse 18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Someone may ask, how do I know if something is sin? Then you need to ask yourself some deep-rooted questions. Is this thing good for you to do? Is it beneficial to the kingdom of Almighty God? Will it bring a reproach upon the name of Almighty God? How does God see this? Will God accept it? You see, as brothers and sisters in the family of God, we are each other's keeper. Those of us who have been saved for a longer period of time, we must be careful how we walk before the brethren, the new converts. The word of God tells us in Romans, turn with me there for a moment, the 13th chapter. He tells us how that you and I have got to walk. And look at what he says there in verse 14. He tells us there Romans, the 13th chapter, verse 14, starting with verse 13. He said, let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on what? The Lord Jesus Christ. And make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. You see, new converts need to see faithful, righteous, and holy living from you and I. Not us trying to circumvent the Bible and do it our way. We that have been saved for a longer period of time ought to be free to help, but not to hinder their walk. Amen. When we are faced with a decision, let us ask, will it draw me closer to God? Will it strengthen my faith? Will it strengthen my witness for Almighty God? Paul said in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 23, and I'm paraphrasing here, this I do for the gospel's sake. Are you doing it for the gospel's sake? Then ask ourselves, will this glorify God? Will God bless this thing and use it for his glory and for his honor? Will this be pleasing and honoring to him? 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31 says, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Oh, you can also ask, how will this thing affect the family of God? Will it bring a reproach upon the name or the family of God where I worship? Although we may have freedom in Christ, we are never to let our freedoms cause a weaker brother or sister to stumble. Look at what it says in Romans, the 14th chapter, verse 13. He says there in that scripture, and I'm paraphrasing, I'm going down to the bog. Well, I'm going to just read it. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Verse 21 of that same scripture says, it is good neither to eat flesh nor to drink wine nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth or is offended or is made weak. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself for God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in the thing which he alloweth. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. We then that are strong ought to bear what? The infirmity of the weak, and not to please ourselves. All we're told also in 1 Corinthians, the 8th chapter, verse 9. Oh, we've got, there's a lot of things in the Word of God, saints of God. As we study the Word and read, and we become close, get closer and closer to Almighty God, we see just how much we have to draw closer to Him. And we learn more about this in May when our dear brother and brother Lester and brother Maurice come before us and they bring to us what God has given them about us drawing closer to Him. Oh, I want to draw closer to God. I want to know that my living is not in vain. I want to know that I'm living according to God's eternal word. And then when this life is over, that I know heaven is my home. So everything I need to do, everything I need to hear, and I need to hear from the word of God, and I need to hear it from those who are children of Almighty God. He goes on to say there in 1 Corinthians 8, verse 9, he said, but take heed lest by any means this liberty of yours. See, people are walking around today. I have freedom to do this. Oh, but saints of God, we've got to take heed lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. For if any man see thee, which has knowledge, sit at meat in the idol's temple, shall not the conscience of him which is weak be emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idols? Oh, you can cause someone to fall. You can cause someone to go in the wrong direction. He said, and through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ dieth. But when ye sin so against the brethren, oh my God, and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. Oh, we've got to be so careful in our walk. He said, wherefore, if meat make my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. You see, in all things, we are left to let our conscience be clear between God and man. That's what it tells us in Acts 24, verse 16. This is, and herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men. You see, it is all about our witness to the Lord. As believers, we have a powerful witness. And God wants us to live right in front of a lost world, that the world can be saved. Oh, yes, they may criticize us for the stand we take. They may criticize us for our holy living. They may criticize us for the standards we have, the things that we oppose. But if you and I are consistent and holy in our walk to the Lord and our dealings with them, they will be touched by our goodness, and they will see our good works, which will glorify our Father, which is in heaven. At the close of the sermon last Lord's Day, we talked about bathing this house of God and each saint, teacher, in the ministry with prayer. And to make sure we have on the full armor of God, that we are able to stand in these last days. I know that this body of Christ is rich in the prayer life. And we have seen God work miracles among us. He has moved in response to the cry of his children. He's moved in response on behalf of our loved ones, our friends, our co-workers, our neighbors. And truly, we are thankful to Almighty God for hearing and answering our prayers on their behalf. We know that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Oh, saints of God, it is a blessing to know that we have a connection with God, and that when we pray, our prayers grow straight directly to heaven, to our Heavenly Father above, in the name of Jesus. Oh, God wants people to be a people of prayer. A prayer is our connection to God. The Bible is our source of strength in the day of battle. Saints of God, this is why we need to have on the whole armor of God. Amen. The Word of God through the Spirit of God gives us the spiritual strength that you and I constantly need so that we can live a life free from sin in this world. Oh, I think it is sad to say that there are many who have been led and are being led in error, and they are being led into sin and false doctrine simply because they are not grounded in the Word of God. They have built their faith upon the sinking sands of this world and not on Jesus Christ. They have failed to feed on this blessed holy book, and as a result, they are weak to the flesh. They are easily led astray, and they are prime targets for the attack of the enemy today. This is why you and I have got to strengthen our walk with God through fasting and prayer. Look at what it says in 1 Peter 5, verse 8. It says for you and I to be sober. It tells us to be vigilant. Saints of God, we need to get serious about some things, especially where the devil is concerned. Who do you think is working against us every day of our lives? As we strengthen our walk in the Lord, we will see the path of victory over the enemy of our soul. Peter went on to let us know there, and that 1 Peter 5, verse 8, turn with me there for a moment. He went on to say there, because your adversary, and we know the devil is not our friend. Don't ever think the devil is our friend. He is our foe. He is our enemy. Oh, he is out there trying to destroy lives, and he is not trying because he's doing it right now. Look at the many lives that are being destroyed because of the devil. He is out there working 24/7. Oh, you think the other day in the news, how many more times can we hear about someone walking into a place and shooting up a place? How many more deaths do we have to see at the hands of people who have guns and everything? And this is not political. I am basically saying what the Holy Spirit has given to me. We are living in some perilous times, saints of God, and we don't know whether we'll be in the crossfire of bullets or not. They're walking in grocery stores. They're walking in places of business. All of us go in the grocery store. All of us go in places of business. We work in office settings, various things. People are all so disgruntled about everything that's going on. And the reason why is because they don't have Jesus in their life. Because when you have Jesus, you don't have to be disgruntled about everything that's happening in this world. What are you saying, Sister Renee? Because Jesus has already told us what the signs of the last days are. We are told in the Word of God, perilous times will be upon us. We are told men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of pleasures. They will hate God. They will despise you. There's nothing for you and I to be disgruntled about, but we've got to be happy in Jesus.
Amen.
We've got to be happy. Why? Because we know that our sins are covered under the blood, and that if this life should end today, that we will be with our Savior throughout the ceaseless ages of eternity. How many know what I'm talking about? That's why you've got to be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, who resists steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. See, the devil knows that you and I are going to have toothache. He knows we may have a heart attack, stroke, cancer. We may have arthritis. We may lose our jobs. Our homes may burn down. We may have to replace our furnace, our water heater. All these things will happen to you and I. But look what the Lord of God said in the Word. Here is another but for you and I. But the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory. Do you believe the Word of God? Praise God this afternoon.
Amen.
Praise our God. He's called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. Listen to what he says to you and I, saints of God. After that, you have suffered a while. And he didn't say how long that suffering was going to be. He said, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Oh, Brother Byron, are you strengthened? Are you settled? You went through a lot, and God brought you through each and every day of that cancer you went through. For a whole year, you battled it. You battled many. heard many times on the phone how you were going through things, but you stayed in there with Almighty God. Why? Because the God of all grace brought you through it. Praise our God. Oh, saints of God, there are going to be difficulties along the road of life from time to time. The word suffer in this passage of scripture bears this out for you and I. Jesus himself said it would be so in the word of God. Oh, yes, we're going to suffer some things. Look what he tells us in John, the 16th chapter. He tells us in that 33rd verse. See, many times we just need to get into the word of God to see some things, and then we don't have to go around and be walking around sad like the world, because all of it is here for you and I. We may not understand every bit of it, but we can get into the word of God, and we can ask God, Lord, help me, help my unbelief, help my understanding, help me to know what thus saith the Lord, so I can be a better Christian for you. He goes on to say there in verse 33, he said, these things I have spoken unto you, this is Jesus speaking, that in me you might have peace. See, in Jesus Christ we have peace. Then he went on to say, in the world you shall have what? Tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Praise our God. Even Job let us know there will be difficult times in our lives. He said in Job, the 14th chapter, verse 1, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. God knows that we are going to go through some things, something for living for him in this life. But he has promised and provided us with the comfort of the Holy Spirit of God to bring us through life's trials and life's tribulations. You and I have got to trust him, and we've got to be true and see what God will do for us. Praise our God. Let us remember that even when life is a veil of tears for you and I, that we have the promises of his presence. He's given us a promise of his provision in the word of God. He's given us a promise of his power. He's also given us a promise of promotion. You think about it, saints of God. We know what Jesus said in the word of God. Oh, we know how he was there with his disciples. And when his disciples came to him, and what did he tell them in John, that 14th chapter, verse 1? He said, let not your heart be troubled. Oh, come on, saints of God. He said, if you believe in God, he said, believe also in me. He said, for in my Father's house, he said, are many mansions. You think about it, saints of God. We don't need to let our hearts be troubled about the things that are going on in this world. Oh, yes, there's troubling times all around us. Oh, yes, it will make us sit back and weep. It will make us to think about, oh, maybe years ago when things were not as bad as they are right now. Oh, it will make us think about our grandchildren, as I said. When I was sitting there on yesterday, tears were just rolling out of my eyes, thinking about how my grandchildren are living in this, going to be in this world, how this world is upside down right now. Oh, every time you turn around, I heard the news commentator said the flag has been half-staffed through the Biden administration. How many times? I think this is the fourth time that it's been down. Why? Because death is rising, not from COVID, but from mass shootings and killings all around us. But our Jesus gave us something to hang on to when he said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, he gave us a promise, saints of God. He said, I will come again. Do you believe that?
Yes.
He said, and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Praise our God.
Thank you.
Oh, praise God. What a promise, saints of God. He said, where do I go? You know, and the way you know. Oh, we got to believe in him, saints. We got to trust him for his word. Oh, therefore, let us run with patience the race that has been set before us, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finish of our faith. Why? Because he has already ran this race, and he knows the way. He knows that sad days will not last, but there will be days of happiness. Notice what the Lord tells his children here. He will make us perfect. And back in 1 Peter, he will establish us. He will strengthen us. He will settle us. Praise our God. Oh, this is why we as believers, we've got to be grounded in the word of God. Not the opinions of preachers and ideals of men. But we've got to be grounded in the pure, unadulterated word of the living God.
Amen.
We need to know what we believe in and why we believe in him. This is why Paul said in 2 Timothy 2, verse 15, he said, to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Yes, it's important to rightly divide God's word. Souls are at stake. Souls are at the brink of imploding. Look at the suicide rate that is sweeping our country right now. Folks can no longer cope with COVID. Don't misunderstand what the Holy Spirit is using me to say. I understand that this virus has taken its toll on all of us. I'm just as tired of it as you are. However, I serve a God who's bigger than COVID. And he is able to keep that which we have committed unto him. The troubles of this world came because of sin. Sin has destroyed the lives of mankind. However, our loving Heavenly Father did not leave us in that sinful condition. No, he sent a remedy. He sent a cure for sin. And it did not take him 10, 15 years to develop a vaccine to cure sin. But we are told in Ephesians 1, verse 4, according as he has chosen in him before the foundation of the world. We are also told there in 1 Peter 1, verse 9, he said, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul. Excuse me, verse 19 of 1 Peter 1, he said, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He said there, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifested in these times for you. See, right. God had already planned for it. He said there in Revelation 13, verse 8, he said, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose name are not written in the book of life of the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And he tells us also, we just said, we quoted it over in John the 3rd chapter, or I should say we read it. He said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Before there was ever a sin committed, our God had already provided the means and the remedy and the cure. And his name is Jesus Christ. Yes, he's the one. God sent the cure to heal mankind's sin, sick soul. However, just like any cure, it has to be applied to one's life.
Yes.
Salvation is the same way. You must come to Jesus in order to be saved. You must quit the sin business. You must live a holy and righteous life in Jesus Christ. Anyone who refuses to walk in humble submission before the Lord will continue to be used by the enemy of their soul. To the lost this afternoon, don't let that be you. Will you do what the Lord is moving on your heart to do right now? Come to Jesus. Stop allowing everything in this world to stand between you and believing in Jesus. Come to Jesus and be saved. Oh, his blood hasn't lost any power this afternoon.
Amen.
He is still saving all who will come to him by faith. And who will receive him into their hearts and lives. Although we don't see souls coming in the doors of this house of God in groves, let us not count out our Heavenly Father.
Amen.
Oh, praise our God. We are told in Acts, the 2nd chapter, that the apostles were praising God. And there in verse 47, it said, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. We may not have an overflow of believers in this house of God. However, we have the Spirit of God. Praise God. And he has told us in the word, if I be lifted up, I'll draw. Christ does the drawing.
Let us just make sure we are living so that mankind can be drawn by Christ through the lives that you and I profess we are living in him. Praise our God. See, no one can just get saved when they want to get saved or because they want to be saved. No, they have to be drawn by the word of God. Jesus said, and so in John, the 6th chapter, turn with me there for a moment. Thank our God for the word of God. Look at what he said in verse 44. He said, no man can come to me except the Father, which has sent me, draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Praise God. You see, God saves you because salvation is of the Lord, not of man. It is his gift to give. When he gives you salvation, he also gives you everlasting life in his Son. We're told also in Romans 6, verse 23, the latter part of that scripture says, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. If you have the Lord Jesus Christ this afternoon, you have everlasting life. If you do not have the Lord Jesus, then you do not have everlasting life. You may ask, how does one go about getting this eternal life? How do I know if I already have it? If you already have him, you'll know. How many know what I'm talking about? You see, no one can come to Jesus and not be different. When Jesus comes into your life, you are what the word of God says in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You see, the word therefore refers back to something. Let us go to that scripture and let us see what it says there, starting with verse 14 of 2 Corinthians 5. Oh, I thank God for the word of God. Thank God for how it's left on record for us. Excuse me for a moment here. Thank God for his word. Thank God for his spirit. Praise our God. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14, starting there. He said, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died for all, that they might, which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Went on to say, wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Then it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Are you a new creature this afternoon? Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Paul tells us that all believers have died with Christ. We no longer live for ourselves no more. Our lives are no longer worldly. Our lives are now spiritual. Our death is that of the old sin nature, which was nailed to the cross with Christ Jesus. It was buried with him. Just as he was raised up by the Father, so are you and I raised up to walk in newness of life. Praise our God. That new person that was raised up is what Paul refers to as a new creation. And this new creation is created by God the Father himself. Yes, all of our stories, we have the tale, saints of God, about our past life are different, but our salvation is the same. We all have met the same personal Savior, Jesus Christ. We all had to be what? Born again. We all had to make a confession unto Christ Jesus and believe. And because we did, we are all now called the sons of God. Praise our God for salvation this afternoon. Oh, thank God for our salvation. John 1, verse 13 tells us that this new birth was brought about by the will of God. We did not inherit the new nature or decide to recreate ourselves anew. No, neither did God simply clean up the old nature. No, he created something entirely new in you and I, and only the Creator could accomplish such a feat. Paul said, old things have passed away. The old refers to everything that is and was part of our old nature. You think about as saints of God, our old nature. We had pride. We had love of sin. There was lust. We relied on our works, on our former opinions, our habits, passions, self-righteousness. We were self-promoting of ourselves. Oh, and we see that today. People walk around and all they do is promote themselves. We are living in a selfish society. People are almost falling off a cliff because they're trying to take selfies and all various things. Self-justification. All that stuff has passed away from you and I, and thank God for it. The new man now, we look outwardly toward Christ Jesus instead of inwardly toward ourselves. All the old things have died away, and they're nailed to the cross with our sins. And now they're replaced with the new thing in Jesus Christ. Now you and I are full of life to the glory and honor of God. How many know what I'm talking about? Oh, the newborn soul, we delight in the things of God. We don't begrudgingly come to the house of God. We don't begrudgingly say, oh, it's Wednesday night prayer meeting. Oh, I got to get up and pray. No. Oh, saints of God. You know, we have it even in our bulletin. I thank God that it's put in the bulletin. Sister used to put in there, always pray for one another. And I was studying one day, and it came across a scripture. Like I said, same thing. When you read the word of God, we come across scripture, various things, where it says in 1 Samuel 12:23, moreover, as for me, God forbid I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and the right way. You think about it, saints, that we sin against God when we don't pray for one another, when we don't lift each other up in prayer during the week, knowing that we are the body of Christ, knowing that prayer is what reaches the throne of Almighty God, knowing that prayer is what carries us through. None of us can get up and go out in this life without having prayer. I can remember one time when little young Haley said downstairs, we asked a question about why do you pray? She said so that you can have a good day, that you start out your day, that you pray to Almighty God. And that's coming from a child, saints of God. Letting us know that in order for us to start out having a good day, we need to be in communion with our Heavenly Father. We don't need to get up in the morning and turn on CNN. We don't need to get up in the morning and turn on ESPN and whatever else is going on, because the same sin that happened yesterday is going to be the same sin. It's going to be the same breaking news all day long breaking, because that's just the way it is in our society. But we need to get up. And we need to be thankful to Almighty God for what God has done to us. Oh, we have a word on our lips, saints of God, a prayer in our heart to Almighty God. I don't know about you, but saints, before I even get out the bed, I'm thanking God for allowing me to see the dawning of a new day. Because God didn't have to allow me to see it. He didn't have to allow me to be here. But I thank God for that. Oh, that's how we have to trust in Jesus. Trust in him alone for our salvation. Several Sundays ago, the message was on salvation, the Bible way, letting us know there's no other way to get into the kingdom of heaven. I know the world is teaching things differently. However, the Bible way is still through the new birth and being born again. You see, this is why it is important to know what we believe and who we believe in. We read this morning in Matthew 24, how Jesus warned about the arise of false Christ and false prophets. Saints of God, and especially to our new converts and to anyone that is seeking to know Jesus, you need to know there are many deceiving spirits out in our world today. You'll hear people say, I'm a believer. But what do they believe? Or what are they believing in? Christianity has become a fad, so to speak. But it means something when you say you're in Christ. In Christ means that you have the Holy Spirit of God. It means you love God. You keep his commandments. You are in a covenant with God. And because of the sacrifice of Christ Jesus, all things have become new. A new way of thinking, a new way of understanding, a new relationship with God the Father, a new way of living your life. How many have know what I'm talking about this afternoon? Amen. Now that you're in Jesus Christ, you're not living your life the same way you used to live it before. You're living it totally different. You're telling people about Jesus Christ that you never would have told before. You are saying things that you never would have said. When people say things, you can walk away and you say, oh, to God be the glory, and move on. But that when you were in sin, you were not doing that. There were times that you couldn't wait to get in an argument with someone. You couldn't wait to argue, to have the last word, so to speak, in an argument. But you remember what the word of God lets us know. He tells us anger lieth in the fool of a bosom. You don't have to be angry at everything that's going on. Our world is walking around, everybody's angry. And you got to be careful right now because everybody's carrying a gun. And they got to stand your ground wall that they can shoot you if they feel like they were. You may be sitting there just discussing something and they may not like it and say, I have feared for my life, and shoot you down. That's the type of world in which we live right now, saint. Oh, praise our God. Do you know, we live for Almighty God. And our God is able to keep us. Our God is able to protect us even in this world in which we live. You see, as we have said for the past several Sundays, simply knowing facts about Jesus is not going to guarantee you inheritance into the kingdom of heaven. You've got to know more than sound bites about him. Matthew 5, verse 20 says to his disciples, for I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. You see, the righteousness of the Pharisees was based on outward, visible actions, and that's what time we're living in right now. Oh, you blessed, I'm blessed, we're all blessed, we're wearing medallions with crosses on. See, it was not necessarily a righteousness back then based on the heart and on devotion to Almighty God. The Pharisees' righteousness was based on doing things which may or more likely may not have been joined by having a righteous attitude. For example, they prayed and they fasted, but they did so to be seen of man or to impress those who would see them as out of love for God. They did all the right things which would convince their peers that they were righteous. But the one person who was not convinced by their outward righteousness was God himself. Oh, when we do righteous acts, we should make sure that these acts are a devotion to God and not a play for the praise of man or to be seen of mankind. Look what Jesus said in Matthew, the 6th chapter. Turn with me there. But he said this in the sermon on the mount, when he gave instructions about prayer. He said in Matthew 6, verse 5, look what he says. He said, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. He said, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be what? Seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. One might ask, how do we surpass the righteousness of the Pharisees? I think the best way to ensure that we have righteousness, we surpass the Pharisees, is to live by the word of God, to put into practice the Beatitudes in our lives, to do all things with a spirit of purity, mourning, poorness of spirit, peacemaking, holiness, mercy. Also to have the fruit of the Spirit, which we all know, saints, in Galatians, that 5th chapter. You may say to me, Sister Renee, what are the fruit of the Spirit? Turn over there for a moment and look at what Paul says we have to have. And he was speaking to the saints there. He was letting them know about the fruit of the Spirit. But I thank God he let them know prior to having the fruit of the Spirit. Look at what he said to them there. Turn with me there for a moment. Look at what Paul said in that scripture reading to them. I'm going to start back there at the 16th verse. Look what Paul says. He said, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that ye would. He said, but if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now, look what Paul went on to say here. Now, the works of the flesh. You know, people oftentimes will say, well, what is sin? What is this? Paul lets us know here, and we know that this is not the entire list here. He went on to say the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: idolatry, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresy. Then look what he says: envying, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things, look what Paul says, shall not inherit the kingdom. So don't think anyone that's doing these things out there in the world is going to inherit the kingdom of God. But look what he said. But the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh. Paul just told us what the works of the flesh were. With the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Praise our God. Also, we should have a kingdom attitude. What are you saying, Sister Renee? We should lay up our treasures in heaven and not on the earth. We should value the things of God more than we value the things of this world. You think about it, saints of God, and I have this too myself. Many of us have alarms on our cars. We get out the car, beep, beep. We go to the car, beep, beep. We go to our homes, we have alarms, we're putting in codes because we're protecting, come on, saints, we're protecting all these material things, right? How about having the Holy Spirit to protect our soul, to protect us in this world? That's why he tells us to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, saints of God, I know it's a tight walk, but I thank God for it. I thank God for it as well. I was sharing with Sister Blake downstairs. I thank God. I'm finding more and more about how God wants to use me. Because when I look around and I see all these so-called churches, I see the confusion that is going on. There are a lot of religions and religious people in our society today. Many of these movements are contradictory to the Word of God. Because the Word of God tells us in Ephesians, that fourth chapter, in that fourth verse, he says to us, there is one body, one Spirit, even as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. This is why people are so confused today about salvation. They look around and see all these so-called churches. You see all these, so much confusion in what is being taught, especially when they see the TV evangelists. They hear many of them are millionaires off of selling the message of Jesus Christ when the gift of salvation is free to all who believe. Who would have thought that finding a church would be like trying to choose toothpaste today? All the varieties you have, Crest, Colgate, Arm & Hammer, Sensodyne, fluoride, non-fluoride, advanced whitening, etc., down the line. You see, it ought not to be. No wonder there's confusion going on in the land right now. 1 John 2, verse 6 says, he that saith he abideth me ought himself also to walk even as he walked. If any man professes to be a minister of God, all should be preaching the same message from the same word of God. If we are claiming to be a Bible-based church, then we ought to be preaching from the Bible and not from some man's publication. That is why we cannot just join up with everything that says Church of God on the door or says that they are a Christian. My Bible says in Amos 3, verse 3, can two walk together except they be agreed? Yes, it matters to me what I believe and who we believe in. We are told if you don't believe in this Bible, then you are an unbeliever. We are also told in Romans 8, verse 8, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. We're told in Ephesians 5, verse 11, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. You know, one of the most difficult parts of the renewed mind that you and I have is to break away from people who reject God's word. We're told in Psalms, verse 1, we're told there in the first division of Psalms, verse 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14 says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion has light with darkness? You see, there is no fellowship, there is no communion between righteousness and unrighteousness.
righteousness. There is nothing between light and darkness. In these passages of scriptures, God is so keeping it real, as the people would say in the world today. You see, we as saints of God are to have company with like-minded believers. That's what you and I are to have company with, opposed to being hooked up with everything that is going on. People that are unbelieving, people that don't love the word of God, people that don't love living righteous lives and holy lives for Almighty God. All of us in our Christian walk at one time and another, and I believe I can say that we thought we can change someone. We thought that we could change them so that they could be saved. However, that change did not occur. We've got to be careful, saints of God. You know, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33, and Maria, Sister Maria should know this well. Be not deceived. Evil communication corrupt good manners. Don't be tricked by false words. Amen. Evil company does damage to good behavior. Some of us think we can change the world. We can change someone who is evil. But they might end up changing us if you keep hanging around them.
Amen.
Why? Because being a new man in Christ Jesus, you don't believe like the wicked believe. You no longer listen to their counsel, their invitations to evil. Your hearing is turned to the things of Almighty God. Our mindset, saints, have been changed. Our conversation now is in heaven. Nor do we have believed like the wicked. The old man has been put away forever. I believe in my heart I've put away the old man forever by the grace of Almighty God. 1 Peter 4, verse 4 says, wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excess of riot. I mean going out through the streets and various and speaking evil of you. Many people have come up, and telling me, you know, other churches are out. They're marching. They've got signs up. They're out there marching with all of these killings that are going on. I don't have to go out and march and stand in a crowd of people that are screaming out a lot of things that are ungodly. All I have to do is get on my knees and pray.
Amen.
I can pray for all mankind. Get out there in the street and get in the midst of someone throwing a bottle or something at someone. And then all of a sudden your picture be on the news or in the front of the newspaper doing something crazy. And then you'll be saying, I'm a child of God. Oh, saints of God, I thank God we don't have to have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. But God wants us to rather reprove them. Our mission that we are now saved is to reach those who are lost and to tell them about Jesus Christ. The only reason I'd go out there to one of those marches is to have a big sign that said, you know, Jesus is the answer. It's the only thing I would go out there for. I shared with Brother Tony on Friday. I told him how I was speaking to a young lady and how the Holy Spirit of God opened up the way for me to be able to talk to her about her soul. You see, she asked me about my ministry. And this was a teachable moment that the Bible gave me, that the Spirit of the Lord gave me to speak to her, to turn her eyes toward our Savior, Jesus Christ. You see, as a minister of God, I have an obligation that when the opportunity presents itself to share the good news about Jesus Christ, that's what Brother was praying about in his prayer. When I'm talking to my friends that I know that do not know Jesus, I always let them know about the text ministry that God has given to me, and many of them receive the morning message, and they're very thankful for it. My life, I was sharing with Sister Blake, is now about souls, getting souls to Christ Jesus. I see what God is using me for. That's what he said in Luke, the first chapter. Luke said it there in verse 17, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. That is my responsibility that God has laid upon me. Oh, saints of God, and I don't take it lightly. I thank God for it. You see, as saints of God, we all ought to be walking Bibles. We got to be able to draw someone to the word of God through our righteous living wherever we go. You might have to go back to when you were out there in the out of the will of Almighty God. You might have to let them know what God delivered you from. You see, there is nothing wrong with it. If the Holy Spirit leads you there, you got to go there. You see, if it's not about gloating or glorifying your past life, because there's nothing to gloat about what we were in. But allowing us, as Paul oftentimes did, let others know where Jesus found him and where Jesus brought him from.
in your leisure, I ask you to read Acts the 26th chapter, how when Paul was there speaking with Agrippa, he declared his past life to him. He let him know about his past life. And I believe you saints of God, you know these scriptures very well, because Paul used every opportunity he could to tell everyone about what Jesus said and what Jesus did for him. And that's where Agrippa told Paul, he said, thou almost persuadest me to be a Christian, but almost is altogether lost. Our former life is nothing to brag about. I know it, saints of God. But it might help a soul to come to Jesus Christ. Therefore, we don't want to hang around things that will destroy, as Paul said, that we might tempt ourselves with those things that might draw us back to a life of sin. Romans 6, verse 21 says, what fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is what? Death. If we love the Lord, we will love the word. We will love his word. We will believe in his eternal food for our soul. I know that sounds rather drastic, but it really results in a very positive lifestyle of blessings for you and I. If we adhere to the word of God and don't allow the devil to have us trying to argue with God about everything that's in the word of God. You see, this is what Peter told the Sanhedrin council in Acts, that fifth chapter. Turn with me there for a moment. Oh, I know you know these scriptures quite well, saints of God. Oh, you get in and begin to read, and God can take you all over this Bible and showing you various things. But while Peter was there and he was talking to him, the apostles had been brought before the Sanhedrin council. You know about it. Peter addressed them. And Peter was laying out, and he was talking about his witness to Almighty God. And we are his witness of those things. And so it is also the Holy Ghost whom God has given to them that obey him. Paul, Peter and them were letting them know. And then when they got down later on in that scripture text, verse 39 says, but if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it. If less happily you be found even to fight against God. And there are many in our day and time right now, saints, that are trying to fight against God. You see, there's only one way to defeat our personal adversary, and that is to put on God's word in our mind. There's no other way. The world will offer us nothing but a counterfeit existence that will lure us away from the things of God. Don't be lured away from the things of God. Turn with me to Jeremiah, the second chapter. Look at what it says there in the word of God. Look what the prophet Jeremiah penned for the people of God, because God had him write this down for them. He says there in that 13th verse of Jeremiah 2, he says these words, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns, that can hold no water. You see, our God has an unlimited supply of blessings. And the world's supply is limited. In this passage of scripture, God was saying that his people at that time, in our time too, saints of God, forsook him, forsook the fountain of living water. You see, God is the author of life. He is the supremely good creator who is able to give us everything that we need and everything we want in abundance. He's the fountain of living waters. He is the source of true satisfaction. And yet there are those who claim to be his children, and yet they live sinful lives. And through sinful living, they are prone to forsake him and to seek out broken cisterns that hold no water, that can't satisfy. Meaning they are looking to the things of this world to satisfy their soul. Many are pursuing their own ways to satisfy themselves, to think that pleasure and possessions of this world is satisfaction. No, not so. Not knowing or accepting that the God that we serve has a bottomless bucket of goodness. He has grace, mercy, blessing, long-suffering, loving kindness. Oh, saints of God, we serve a great God. Let us pray and ask him to keep us from looking to other things and other people for the satisfaction that we can find in him. Jesus is our fountain of living water. We are told this in John, that fourth chapter. I thank God, sister, he was downstairs in it this morning with the children back in John, reading about the living water. But we are told there in John, that fourth chapter, when Jesus has a conversation at the well with the woman of Samaria. We're also told in John, the seventh chapter, where he said there in verse 37, he said, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Praise our God. Are you having living waters flow out of your belly this afternoon because you know Jesus Christ? You believe on him. Yes, Jesus is our living water. He is the spring that flows up, and we can drink from him forever, and we will never, ever, ever be thirsty again. Praise our God. See, our Heavenly Father loves us. All we have to do is believe in his Son, Jesus Christ. Oh, saints of God, God sees all the things that are happening in our world today. Our God could destroy this world in a blink of an eye. However, we have his grace. We have God's mercy, God's long suffering, and God will carry us through. When times look bleak and miserable, always know that we are cradled in the hands of Almighty God. Praise God. Praise our God. Saints of God, one day the hurting's going to be over. We've got to hold on. I want to see people's lives changed. I want them to serve God. I've got loved ones that are out of the ark of safety, and I want them to serve God. I don't want them running after the riches of this life or the broken cisterns in society that are there today. And one of those broken cisterns is religion. We are living in a time where people are just running after religion. And you may say to me, Sister Renee, what is religion? Religion is man's interpretation of what they think God's word should say. Yeah, there's a difference between being religious and being saved. There's a difference between religion and salvation. Sister preached a message on it one time. I don't know if you remember, but Sister Blake preached a message on religion versus salvation. Many people are under the belief that because they go to church on Sunday or every day, some go to church every day, that they stand approved before God. Not so. If you don't have salvation, you're not standing approved before God. Amen. The word of God does not say that anywhere in the Bible, that going to church every day makes you saved. Salvation is deliverance from sin. Amen. When you've been born again, you have been saved from sin, and you are saved to a life with God through Jesus Christ. Religion is having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, and we're seeing it in our society today. People don't believe in the new birth. And if you don't believe in the new birth, then you don't believe in Jesus Christ. Amen. But when you believe in the new birth, you can come to Jesus Christ and you can have your sins forgiven. Jesus did not die for us to stay in our sins, but he died to save us from our sins. That's why, yes, it is important for us to know what we believe and who we believe in and to study God's word. We're told in 2 Timothy, second chapter, verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You see, knowing the word of God is the only way any of us will defeat the enemy of our soul, and that is the only way we will be able to resist the temptations and to fellowship with darkness. The problem with most who claim to be saved today is that they do not keep God first in their life. God is not first and foremost. Remember, the greatest commandment in the word of God is what? To love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, and soul, and spirit, and body. That's the first greatest commandment in the word of God. But many today do not love God like they ought to. Many want a God. They want God only at a time of convenience. They only reverence God when there's time when they want to call upon them. They want to call on God and say, oh, God, I need you right now. Oh, God, if there's a God in heaven, can you do this and so, thus and so for me? Our God is not a God of convenience.
Amen.
But our God is one that we serve. He is almighty. He is omnipotent. And we have got to serve our God as he is. He is the great I am. And if we want to defeat the enemy of our soul, we've got to know him. We've got to believe in him. We got to walk with Almighty God through Jesus Christ and his word and the Holy Spirit of God. We got to keep him forefront in all of our lives, wherever we go, whether we're on our job or not. We've got to have Almighty God there with us while we're sitting there typing up the word. We've got to have Almighty God with us. Why? Because we've got to be able to defeat the God of this world. And that's a little g I'm talking about. That is what he does. Sister Smith said it earlier. He destroys lives. We're told in John 10, verse 10, that the adversary's ministry is to steal and to kill and to destroy. Oh, this is important for you and I to know. That's why it's important to know who we believe in and what we believe. God's words written was written so that unbelievers would become believers. Praise our God. That's why he tells us to enter in at the straight gate. That's why Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's why he lets us know in 1 John 4, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try them. Try the spirits and see whether they be of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. How many of us believe the word of God? You see, the Bible is warning us. We're studying warnings in our Sunday school lesson. Warnings and things that we need to know. Warnings about false prophets, false teachers, deceivers of our faith. They say, Renee, why is it important for me to know what I believe? Because there is danger of being deceived by man. Deception is all around us. It is greater today to be deceived with all of these little conspiracies and all these theories. Have you been listening to the news? People are chasing after things that are, you know, they're listening to the news, QAnon and all these, Antifa and all these various things are happening right now, real time in our lives, saints of God. We've got to have our feet firm on the foundation of Almighty God. We've got to have on the whole armor. When you think about it, I know we skim over it. And hopefully I pray that the Lord will give me a message to be able to sit down and break down the whole armor of God, or if he would give us one on Wednesday. But when you get in there and you think about this armor, this is not just some armor you put on. It is just not any other thing. Look at what Paul says to the church there at Ephesus. Turn with me there for a moment to Ephesians, that sixth chapter. And look at what he's saying there in the word of God. And look at what he says in verse 10. He said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. See, he's letting them know you've got to be strong in the Lord. Saints of God, that's not only for them back then. That's for you and I today. We've got to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. He went on to say, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. What are the wiles of the devil? It is the trick that the devil plays. It are the games that the devil. We've got to be able to resist the enemy of our soul. He went on to say, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. That means we're not wrestling against each other, mankind, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Saints of God, do we not know? We've got it right there in our Supreme Court, right there in our Congress. They're passing laws that go against the word of God. They're saying that they pass laws concerning same-sex marriage and various things that go against the word of God. God did not mean for man to marry man. God did not mean for woman to marry woman. But he told them back in the word of God, you are to leave your father and your mother and cleave unto your wife. And he was speaking to Adam about Eve. He wasn't speaking about anything else. But our world got it all twisted up and down. Now you've got more laws being passed about transgender. You've got to have this on your birth certificate. Whatever your birth certificate says, that's the restroom you've got to use. We've got confusion going all around the saints of God. You know it's confusion when you don't even know what restroom you can use.
Amen.
You think about it. Used to be they'd have a little body on there with a woman, look like a little skirt on. Now you go walking in and some man's walking out. And shaking more than some women shake. That's the society in which we live. That's why you and I've got to have on the whole armor of God. That's the darkness and times in which we live. He went on to say here in the word of God, he said, wherefore, verse 13, take the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Saints of God are our day evil. Yes. We've got to be able to withstand, meaning we've got to be able to resist these temptations to go along with what's happening in our society. We've got to be able to stand to resist when our family members say, oh, you know what? You guys are old fuddy-duddies. You guys believe in holiness. You believe we've got to be able to resist those things, saints of God. Then he goes on to say, stand. Therefore, having your loins girt about with true saints of God, we're going to have to just stand. Girt about with truth. Having on the breastplate of what? Righteousness. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We got to have the gospel of Jesus Christ. We got to know that the foundation that we are standing on is a sure foundation. We got to know, as Jesus said in the word of God, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Do you believe what Jesus said? Do you believe the rock you're standing on, the foundation you're standing on is solid in Jesus Christ?
Amen.
Praise our God.
Amen.
He said, above all, taking the shield of faith. Saints of God, is all about faith. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. He said, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. See, if you have faith, you're able to quench all those fiery darts that are coming at you quick and fast. He said, and take the helmet of salvation. God even has protection for our mind, our head, so that we will have the spiritual mind of God. That's why Paul said in the word of God, and we know it well, in that 12th chapter of Romans, when Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by what? The renewing of your mind. Praise our God. Then he went on to say, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints of God. That's why we got to pray for each other, saints. Deception is greater in our time right now. Because what? Jesus is coming back. He said, and for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. For I am an ambassador, for which I am an ambassador in the bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Oh, saints of God, the warnings are all around us. The warnings are telling us that Jesus is coming back. The warnings are letting us know that we've got to stand true on God's eternal word, that Jesus Christ is our example, that we've got to know why we believe in Jesus. You cannot just say, yes, I go over to 116 South Wayne Avenue. No, you got to know why you serve Almighty God. You got to know why you're walking in faith. You got to know why you live the way you live. You got to know why that you stand on the word of God and on the promises of Almighty God. You got to know when he says in the word of God over there in 2 Peter, when he lets us know in the word of God, and Brother Rose, he said, whereby in 2 Peter, the first chapter, verse 4, and are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. We got to know all these things, saints of God, and thank God for his word. The Bible teaches us we've got to trust God and not works. Salvation comes only through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us not be deceived. Any plan that neglects Jesus and his blood shed is not of Almighty God. When Jesus died on the cross, he finished a plan of salvation for all mankind. Now, anyone who receives Jesus finds that salvation has been prepared and paid in full for them. In our scripture text, we're coming to a close. Jesus closes his conversation with Martha by asking her of her faith. You see, it does not matter what she has heard or has seen, but what matters is, in the end, is her faith being placed in Jesus and Jesus alone. The same for you and I today. You may say, why is that important, Sister Renee? Because there is only one plan of salvation that will guarantee an entrance into the kingdom of heaven. There is only one plan of salvation that guarantees escape from sin and from all its baggage. And it all comes through our faith and belief in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the only plan endorsed by God. Turn with me to Matthew 17. The Bible students know the story of the transfiguration of Christ. Jesus had taken Peter, James, and John to witness the transfiguration. While there, Peter became impulsive and suggested that they create three tabernacles, one for Christ, meaning for the New Testament, one for Moses, which would have been under the law, and one for Isaiah, which would be for the prophets. However, God let him know in verse 5, these words. And while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Jesus is our Savior, and he's our Redeemer.
Amen.
Through giving his life in pain and unspeakable suffering, he reached down to lift each one of us out of darkness into his marvelous light. He provided something better so that what we believe and who we believe in means something. In closing, God wants us to believe that the Bible is the true word of God.
Amen.
He wants us to believe that he gave his Son for us. He wants us to believe that Christ died for our sins and that he paid the sin debt you and I owed. He wants us to believe that Christ rose from the dead, that Christ's blood cleanses from all sin, that faith in Jesus gives us eternal life in him, and that all who reject Christ and his atoning sacrifice on the cross will receive everlasting punishment. Do you believe God this afternoon? To the lost, you too can believe, but you have to turn to God in repentance and be born again. Put your trust in Jesus Christ to cleanse you of all your sins. When you do, Jesus said, 11:26, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believeth thou this? May the grace of God, sweet communion, rest, rule, and abide with you. God bless you is my prayer. Amen.
Amen. Praise our God.
Thank you. Amen. Shall we stand?
Amen.
Sister Millicent, if you would make your way forward. Thank God for his word. Jesus said, believe in me. And as the pastor was preaching, looking at that second chapter of 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 6. It says, wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Sion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. When we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, we will not be confounded. Doesn't matter what the devil tries to bring at us, throw at us, sneak in the back door, we will not be confounded.
Amen.
Because of Lord Jesus. Verse 7 says, unto you therefore which believe, he is precious.
Mm-hmm.
But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner,
and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient. Wherefore, whereunto also they were appointed. So, is he precious to you?
Amen.
It says, unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. So is he precious to you? Or is he a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense because you're stumbling at the word? Because there are two categories,
yeah.
And that's it. There's nothing else.
Amen.
Do you believe he is precious to them that believe? And to them to whom he is precious, they will not be confounded.
Amen.
But to those who do not believe, then he is a stone of stumbling. Because there's no getting around the Lord Jesus Christ. Because all will stand at that last day,
yes,
to be judged. So it says, for to those who do not believe, he is a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word.
Wow.
Someone who does not believe is stumbling at the word. Because when we receive and embrace and take in, when we eat the word and we believe it, then we're not stumbling at the word.
Amen.
But if we look at the word or we see some portion of the word and say, well, I don't believe that.
My.
Then we're stumbling.
Amen.
We have to take all of his word.
Amen.
Because we're going to be judged by all of his word.
Yes, we are.
So who are we to be in a position to reject any part of it? My Lord. My Lord. Jesus said, believe in me. And he didn't say believe partially in me.
Amen.
We know that he is the word. He's the word that was made flesh and dwelt among us. We've got to believe him. If we do, he's precious unto us. If we don't, then we will stumble. And when we say stumble, somebody say, well, stumble doesn't sound too bad. No, stumbling comes just before falling. Just before falling.
Amen.
Amen. Thank God for the word preached today.
Amen.
Thank God for his spirit who sent the word for us. Now let's think about, what shall we sing?
Be ready when he comes, 384.
Number 384 in the worship of the Lord. And as let us think about what we're singing as we sing. Amen. Amen. 384 in the worship of the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Number 384.
Would you flee from sin and serve the Lord? Be ready when he appear with his reward. Be ready.
you know, it's not enough to, and I'm persuaded there's some people who are in a situation where they say, well, I used to think I was ready. If someone says that, then they're in a fallen condition.
Amen.
To say, well, I used to think I was, but now I'm not so sure. We can be sure. We can make our calling and election sure in the Lord. All we have to do is come to him. Don't we want him to be precious to us and not a rock of offense and a thorn of stumble? Don't we want to be sure? Because if we're not all the way with the Lord, if Jesus is not our Savior, when we're saved through Jesus Christ, we're saved completely, not halfway. And we can't say, well, at one time I thought I was, but then I wasn't. But then I was, but then I wasn't. You know, my mind goes through to what Sister Carol was saying in Sunday school.
Mm-hmm.
Someone who says they were saved, and then he turned around and they said that they weren't. You pray for them because they weren't. And then the next thing that you hear, oh, they are. And I say that you hear it because you hear it from someone else, or you don't see them. They just... So you basically hear through the grapevine that they're saved again, but then you don't see them, you don't hear a testimony. The word says you will know them by their fruits, and those have to be fruits of righteousness, and they have to be bearing the fruit of the Spirit. But what the Lord has done for us has to be manifested. It should not be a secret. None of us are like Joseph of Arimathea who snuck by night. None of us are like Nicodemus. We have to be witnesses. We're told in Acts, Jesus said, "Ye shall be witnesses after, and when the Spirit, when you are filled with the Spirit of God, ye shall be able to be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." And how can we be a witness if our life doesn't tell the gospel story?
Mm-hmm.
If there are things that we are doing that, as Brother Byron said in Sunday school, that bring a reproach on the cause of God. If someone who's unsaved looks at our life and says that, well, they said that they were saved, but now look at them. Now they're out there and they're doing worse than what I used to do, or than what I did. We have to be 100% for the Lord.
Amen. Praise our God. Amen.
Amen. 99 and a half won't do. Amen. Praise our God. Do you know the end of time is near? Be ready. Soon the Lord to judge us shall appear. Be ready. It's not his will that you be lost. Be ready. Would you save your soul at any cost? Be ready. Be ready when he comes. We'll sing that last verse.
There is awful danger in delay. Be ready when he comes. Will you cast your only hope away? Be ready when he comes. Be ready. Be ready. Be ready. When he comes.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. We want to be sure. We want to be strong. We want to be steadfast and sure.
Amen.
Amen. This is no time to get wobbly or shaky.
Amen.
Amen. Thank God. Thank God for his word to strengthen us, to stir up our pure minds, to make us quiver if we don't know the Lord.
My.
Because every word that was preached today, every word that we heard, will have to give an account for in the judgment. Amen. I don't want to come to the judgment and have something meet me there. And God will know that I heard this message. God will know that I heard the message from last week. God will know that I saw, if I were following along in my Bible, that I saw the word there and yet didn't measure to it. Amen, amen. Thank God for his word today. Thank God for his faithfulness. Because we will, if there's something that's there, we'll be without excuse. God sends his message because he loves us.
Amen.
It's not his will that any be lost. Song poet said it. Not his will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And he gives the means.
Amen.
Amen. We thank God for his word. Is there anyone who said, just remember me in prayer? I want to be ready. Amen. I want to be ready. Amen. We'll look to the Lord in prayer. The dear God, our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, dear God, because we know, Lord, that it is truth. Lord, we have seen, dear God, Lord, even as Pastor brought it, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. And, Lord, your word never contradicts. Your word is always sure. And so, Lord, we know, dear God, that we can believe it. And we can stand on it. Lord, we thank you, dear God, for this message and pray, dear God, that you would help us, dear God, to measure to your word, to all of your word. Lord, you saw our upraised hands, dear Father. Lord, we want to, Lord, to, we want your word, dear God, to be precious in us. We want your word to be manifested in us, dear God, to those who don't know you in the pardon of their sins. Lord, we don't want to, Lord, fly off the handle or jump out of the box or, Lord, anything, dear God, that's unbecoming, dear God, of you. And so, Father, we pray, dear God, that you would help us, dear God, to truly believe, dear Father, knowing, dear God, that your word delivered us, Lord, and your word is able to keep us, dear Father. And so, Lord, we don't have to be lacking in anything. Lord, we pray, dear God, that you would help us, dear Father, to believe and believe and believe and believe, dear God, in your promises. Lord, knowing, dear Father, your word cannot fail.
Amen.
Lord, help us, Lord, to believe and believe and believe in our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the word made flesh. Lord, we pray, dear God, that you would help us, dear God, again to be settled and established and strengthened, Lord, in thee. And, Lord, if we have to suffer a while, or, Lord, when we have to suffer for a while, dear God, help us, Lord, to do it with patience and with faith, dear Father. Lord, whether it's something that comes against us, whether it's persecutions, dear God, Lord, whatever it may be, dear Father, Lord, whether it's old enemy of discouragement would try to come, or the old enemy of disappointment would try to come. Lord, whatever it might be, dear Father, help us, dear God, to look to you. Help us to look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, dear God. And that's why Jesus said, believe in me, because he has begun that good work in us, and he is able to finish it. Lord, we pray, dear God, that you would help us, Lord, to count Jesus as precious. Help us, Lord, to count your word as precious. Help us, Lord, to count this great salvation as precious.
Amen.
Lord, we're praying, dear God, for souls, dear Father, who are yet as yet unsaved, dear God. Help them, Lord, to see, dear God, that everlasting life is precious. And the only way to have it is through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who died in our stead. Lord, we pray, dear Father, that you bless us, dear God. Help us, Lord, to rehearse, Lord, your word again and again, over and over, dear Father, in our hearts, dear God, as we go forth, Lord, from this service. Lord, we pray, dear God, that you would strengthen us, dear Father. And Lord, we thank you, dear God, for what you have given to us this day, dear God. Lord, we thank you, dear God, for our pastor. And we pray, dear God, your continued blessings and strength be upon her, dear God. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that, Lord, you have made it clear and you have shown her, dear God, what you have for her to do, dear God. And Lord, that is to go and to seek souls, dear God, and to prepare a people, dear God, Lord, who are ready, dear God, when Jesus comes again. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for what you've done in her life. And we pray, God, that you would continue to bless her, touch her, strengthen her, dear God. For truly, Lord, she is a chosen vessel unto thee, dear God. And Lord, what you have done in her, Lord, blesses our souls. Lord, we pray, dear God, that you would help us also, dear God, to be steadfast, Lord, and to do that, Lord, which you are calling for each and every one of us to do in your kingdom. And Lord, we'll give you glory and we'll give you praise. This we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, and we thank you. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Amen. Thank the Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Thank God. Thank God for his word. Thank the Lord. Truly, we are blessed. We are a blessed people.
Yes, we are. Thank God.
We are a blessed people. This family of God, just such a blessing.
Amen.
Such a blessing.
Amen.
Just thank God.
Amen.
Our announcements for Sunday, April 18th, 2021. We have a card with special thanks. This extra special thank you note sent to you today holds more appreciation than any words can say. St. Matthew 5:8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. To Minister Sister Renee Jenkins and to all the saints, for you're among the nicest people I have ever known, and you'll never be forgotten for the thoughtfulness you've shown. Thanks for everything. Love always. Sister Marietta Smith. Man. Always pray one for another during the week. 1 Samuel 12:23. Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and the right way. The time is here to start preparing for the November turkey giveaway to the community. The canister is available for contributions. In the book, What the Bible Teaches, we are studying about drawing closer to God. Our spring Bible study will be May 24th through 28th, and the dates it will be continued in the fall. Fall dates are September 20th through the 24th. Please read chapters 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I'm sorry, that's not an 8, that's an and sign. Let me start again. Please read chapters 4, 5, 6, 7, and 11. Please pray for our facilitators, Brother Lebester Jackson and Brother Maurice Blake, as they are preparing to give us what the Lord has shared with them. Continue to pray for this work in the Lord. Wednesday night prayer meeting and Bible study will be at 7 p.m. by phone.
And we'll pray. We'll pray ahead of time because, you know, the last Wednesday was kind of in and out and so on. Yes. Pastor says, turn your phone off an hour before service and then turn it back on. That way we'll be sure that the phone is well rested if that's what it takes. We'll pray that the Lord will give us good connection. Amen. Because truly we love his word. Amen. Happy anniversary blessings, brother and sister Robert Williams, today. Amen. And also we recall that brother Byron said his companion Judy, her birthday is today also. So happy birthday blessings as well. Bus drivers for April, we thank God for Sister Millicent McElroy and Brother Mann who are on the bulletin for today. And we will lift up Brother Pierre Johnson, Jr. He is scheduled to drive on next Lord's Day, which is April 25th. So lift him up in prayer, please. Our thought for today, the brook would lose its song if God removed the rocks. Amen. 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 Yeah, so I'm talking about a babbling brook. It only babbles because of the rocks. Amen. Just lets us know that, you know, there may be some rocky places sometimes, but the Lord is good. He'll bring you through. Amen. Amen. We thank God for service this day, that the Spirit of God directed in the service all day long, from Sunday school on through. We thank God for that, for the prayers, for everything, for the presence of everyone who's here. We thank God for his goodness. We thank God for Tatum and Liam having a good day today. Amen. We're thankful for that. Amen. Amen. Praise God.
Sister Blake.
Yes.
Saints, I know that Brenton County is purple again. So we probably, I believe it's safe to say we probably won't have vacation Bible school. Because I don't feel safe bringing people's children in. I know many of us in here have been vaccinated, but still I just think that I think it'd be too much for us to try to do that.
Yes.
With it being purple again and you know, people just not listening and doing stuff. So
yes.
We might have to miss vacation Bible school.
Amen. Amen.
Just be prayerful about it.
Amen. Amen. You know, the Lord directs, when the Lord speaks, when the Lord leads you, we say amen.
Amen.
We say amen to God's will. Amen. All minds are clear. Shall we stand? Amen.
Praise our God.
Praise our God. Sister Lillian, would you dismiss us with prayer, please? Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, I see that.